Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, without further ado or any delay, I am going to present to you our speaker who's going to tie it up. But before I do, let me just go back to over the last 6 weeks that we've been going through our Centered series. Today we're ending and concluding the series. Now I've got to remember all those six messages. If you're on the website, if you're on Facebook, the links to all of the messages, if you've missed one, are all there. But basically, in a nutshell, Jesus is at the center of it all. That's really the central message of Colossians, is that he, in order for you to live the life that God intended for you, you must acknowledge that he is central to everything. And, you know, I love that we are a church that prioritizes God. We prioritize Jesus being at the center of every message, of every song that we sing, of everything that we do as a church, even in our life groups that we have, our Bible studies. Jesus does not exist for us. We exist for him. Okay? So that's the whole of the three chapters that we've gone through in a nutshell. And so as we're preparing to conclude this service, I wanted to give I wanted to give as much time as possible to our very special campus minister, who is the hardest working woman in campus ministry, in my opinion. She's amazing, and we are really blessed. You know, Tina and I are so thankful for Roisin in our lives, and Roisin is a part of this team. And I don't know if you really appreciate the gift that she is to us. I mean, the amazing work that she does on the campus, her ability to follow up the people that are following up the follow-up is second to none. And I have been so blessed to see the fruit of the sister's hard work. And, you know, a lot. If you're a part of that, or if you've been blessed as out of the fruit of what Roisin has done, just put your hand up real quick. I just want to acknowledge, Roisin, just all of the hard work that you put into not just the campus ministry, but the church. And whether you know it or not, Roisin raises all her support to do what she does on the campus. Okay, she is a part of our staff, but she is financed by supporters and so she works really hard on that side too. And so we are super blessed to have someone who has lived an exemplary, see, it's so hard to speak English today, exemplary life in self-sacrifice. And she embodies somebody that lives a life that is centered on Christ. And so I thought there's no better person to conclude this series than Roisin Welsh. So please give it up for our campus minister, your sister, Roisin Welsh.
Nelly, I really appreciate that. What an intro. Can you guys see me if I stand here? Is it all right? Do I need to go back into the light? We're like shining like a light right here. Okay, I'll go here. Awesome. I just want to thank Pastor Nelly for the last 6 weeks of the Colossians series. I've really enjoyed it, actually. And today I'm sort of landing the plane with chapter 4. Let me just pray before we begin. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for Paul as he wrote all these letters to the Colossians, Father, that actually apply to our lives now, God. I pray that you'll speak to us through your word, Father, that we are listening to what you have to say through your spirit today. And Father, let us change us, that we walk out of here with a stronger conviction of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quite echoey. Is that normal? Okay. All right, so the year is 60 AD. So this is 60 years after Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He died and raised. And Paul is now speaking to us, and as he writes his letters, in a prison cell in Rome. And if we can just kind of get a, just go ahead there. So if we can get a picture of him in the prison cell, he's actually writing these letters, probably with shackles around his wrists, around his ankles. And yet his heart is still for people to hear the gospel. Despite the persecution he's gone through, his heart is still to hear the gospel. And if you can remember Pastor Nelly's sermon last week, he touched on chapter 3, where at the end of chapter 3, verses 23 to 24, it talks about working unto God, working unto the Lord with all your heart. And we've just gone through a whole list of how to love others, how our love for Christ translates into our love for others. And so we've got wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh on them. Children, obey your parents. Parents, don't embitter your children. And slaves, obey your masters. Now, I'm sure you haven't really focused on that verse particularly, the slaves obey your masters part. But, you know, I just want to give credit. Credit is due. Every verse is important. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. You know, in Paul's time, there were a lot of slaves. There are a lot of people that had servants in their house, and you know, and as a Christian, what Paul is doing here is he's trying to encourage, if you are in a position of being a master of a home, that you treat your servants as slaves with respect. Okay, so we'll start off with verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, I know that many of you won't have really meditated on that verse, thinking it doesn't really apply to us today. But I want to challenge you that actually, in our very day, that masters can also be considered employers, right? And servants, employees. So effectively, I believe this passage does still apply to us, and that actually God's challenging us here through Paul to treat each other with respect. Whatever position we carry in society, whatever position we have at work, we treat each other with respect and integrity and dignity. And so, you know, it says, masters, provide your slaves or your servants with what is fair and just. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a position of as an employer or as an employee, that you treat each other with respect. No matter where you get to in society, no matter if you own a large company or not, the principle stands the same. Amen. So whatever we do, it says, whatever you do with all your work with it with all your heart, as if working unto the Lord. So just think about your day-to-day work lifestyle. That are you working unto the Lord? Are you working with all your heart? Not serving man, but you're actually serving God. If you put Jesus in that position of an employer or a master, we're working unto him, not just ourselves. So I hope that speaks to some of you today. I don't want to brush through that one, but that's just a point to take away. The next two verses are really Paul speaking to the church of Colossae. Now, do you know, he hasn't even visited this church. He's writing from a prison cell. He's never visited the church in Colossae, right? But his friend actually planted the church, and he was actually in prison with him at the same time, Epaphras. Cool name, hey, Epaphras. And his heart was that the church would stay centered on Christ. And as Nelly said, the whole purpose of these letters to the Colossians is to remind the church not to get distracted by religious relativism, you know, with secular philosophy, with false doctrine, things that were trying to infiltrate the church. And Paul was from his heart in his cell, in his prison cell, saying, guys, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted from the simplicity of the gospel message, which is Christ died for our sins, and through his death and resurrection, we are saved. Through believing in what he's done and having faith in Jesus, we are saved. And that is the gospel message. But what was happening in the church was that through what Pastor Nelly mentioned, legalism and liberalism was coming into the church, where people were adding to that gospel message. People were adding to what God had given to us as the simplicity of the gospel. And his frustration was evident when he was saying, guys, focus. What is the truth of the gospel message? And this is it. And what he says, Paul's heart here to the reader, which is us, and also to the church in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open up the doors for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, this is really key, that first sentence, devote yourselves to prayer. And I think it's really awesome that Nelly mentioned it earlier about, as a church that prays together, stays together, and how important that is. And often we forget the power of prayer, that actually God moves on behalf of our prayers. And, you know, I'm just thinking too, can you hear the heart of what Paul's saying here? Church in Colossians, pray, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to, you know, to seeking God, because their leader, Epaphras, was in prison with him. So they're without a leader, and they're under all this persecution, not like we've experienced in the Western world. Many churches still today are persecuted, and their leaders are taken out early. And so the church then has to come together, and what happens is they need to pray together to stay together, right? So I looked into the word devote, and it means, I like this, it's a Greek word, proskeleterite. That's it. Okay, it's frequently used in the New Testament, particularly in Acts, when it talks about prayer. And it means to devote oneself or to give oneself or their time fully to something or an activity. And I want you to think about how, in the context of this, to devote ourselves to prayer, to give all attention to focus one's attention on, this is how important he is saying to devote prayer to. It suggests a gritty determination, you know, like a focused determination to really seeking out what God's plans and purposes are for you. And I also just want to say, because Epaphras, who was the founding member of that church, he was actually a man of prayer. It says that he fought on his knees in prayer for that church. And so he was actually a prayer warrior. While he was in prison with Paul, he was praying for that church. And the reason why the church in Colossians, I would say, was still prospering and still doing well after that was because he was in prayer for that church. I don't know if you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth before. Who's heard of Smith Wigglesworth? An incredibly famous man of God who was considered a man of faith, an apostle, so a church planter, preacher. He lived a life that was full of miracles, actually, in healing ministry. And he was once approached by these journalists who asked him, "How many hours do you pray every day?" And Smith had a pause, and he replied, 20 minutes. And they said, "What? How are you able to perform all your miracles and all your healing? And how is that possible?" You know, they were thinking he was like 8 hours, 10 hours on his knees in prayer. And he said, "It's because I never go 20 minutes without praying." So effectively, what he's challenging us and challenging me, I think, when I was reading this, is that prayer is not about minutes. It's not about the amount of time you spend in prayer. It's about prayer being a lifestyle. And it's about devoting ourselves to it as being an act of sacrifice, right? So it's about humbling ourselves before God so that he will lift us up and lift up the situation around us. And that so challenged me, you know, that it's really a two-way communication with God. It's never just a one-way. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we just need to ask God this. We just need to do this, you know, so God will answer us. Actually, he speaks to us all the time, and he wants us just to listen. So it's not just about us, you know, one direction. It's actually about that two-direction communication that he desires for us. So I love it. So the second phrase here is being watchful. Now, this word is gregarious in the Greek, and it means to watch someone or something closely. And the image I got for this was like binoculars. You know, when you look through binoculars, it really magnifies an object or magnifies a, you know, piece of scenery. And it causes you to focus your attention on it. It causes you to be alert. And another word for it is vigilant. So it causes you to be to focus intently on that. And I looked into this, and it appears to be it means to look into the future in this particular phrase. It's to be watchful, to look for what is coming, what's ahead. And I think in terms of this, it's talking about being watchful that the prayer is being answered and it's on its way. So I think about when Paul's in prison, he knows that God can break him out of prison. He's done it before. Him and Silas were in prison before, and the apostles and the disciples in the book of Acts were praying for them, and they were praying fervently, and then God caused an earthquake, and the chains were broken. Their chains were broken. They walked out of that prison cell free. Now, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. He's experienced miracles before. And so he trusts that the reason why he's in prison, God's still working on him. He's still working on his character. He's still working on things around him. And he's causing others in the church to be raised up into leadership positions to replace Epaphras, who's also with him, and to take care of that ministry while he's gone. And our persistence in prayer is an expression of our faith. So as we humble ourselves before the Lord, it says in his word that he raises us up. And so our persistence, that pray without ceasing, is really what it's all about. It's not expecting that the promise will come straight away. Because often during the process, God is developing our character. He's developing the inner part of us that needs to deal with the next season that God's calling us to. And I just want to really honor... I just want to honor our prayer warriors, Helen and Jess, who pray for this church every week. They consistently, maybe even daily. I mean, you guys are pretty good. And the reason why our church is flourishing, the reason why we're still in church and staying, is because the power of prayer is strong in this home, in this house of God. And yesterday we had a prayer meeting. We have that once a month, and it was at Pastor Nellie's house. And we had fasted together on that Friday and came together to pray with one another. Now that is an expression of our worship to God, but it's also an expression of our heart to want to see this house grow. We want to see more seats, more people come and sit in these seats. We want to see this whole room full. If we only look at what is in front of us now, we'll get discouraged and think, you know, maybe 40, 50 people are here today. But we do not look with eyes of the flesh. We look with the eyes of faith. And what God is challenging us to do is to be a house of prayer, that we can actually pray for what is to come. Yes. It's being watchful, looking out for the prayers on its way. Okay, and the next word here is being thankful. You know, with a thankful heart. Thanking God in advance for what he has for our church, for our people. Thanking God in advance. And that's what Paul was doing. You know, he was thanking him that he would be released soon. He was thanking him that you know, his prayer, his answer to prayer was on his way. And I love it, you know. He said, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And he needed prayer himself. He was in prison. I can't even imagine what the prison cell would have looked like. Shackles on his wrists and ankles and poor sanitation. He was probably beaten. And the reason why he was in prison was for sharing his faith. You know, and we can't even imagine that he didn't murder anyone. He didn't do any awful crimes, but he was still in prison. And he was there, and while he was there, he was still writing letters to the churches. He was still encouraging the churches, praying for the churches, so that they would see that God was still present. Even though he was in prison and other leaders were in prison, God was still very much there, and he was moving on behalf of their prayers. Now, the mystery of Christ, which he's talking about here, is actually the good news of salvation. So it's a mystery to those who haven't yet understood the gospel. So many of us, we now take for granted the good news that is within us, and we forget that actually to others it's a mystery. It's a mystery. What does that make, you know, does that even make sense that a person died for me and I get to go to heaven? What is that about? That's the mystery that people are looking for the answers for, and we have it. We have it. As Christians, we have the answer to people in their situation, which is Christ. And it will always be Christ, has been, will be, and will forever be Christ. That is the answer. We don't fix people's problems. Christ fixes people. You know, and I was talking to a couple of friends yesterday, and they were saying, how do we share the gospel with our friends that are in sin? How do we share the gospel with this situation, that situation? It doesn't change. You share the gospel. You don't judge them for their situation, but you share the love of Christ. And when they encounter the love of Christ, their life changes. And that happens automatically. As a part of God's goodness, he starts changing you from the inside out. And through that process, it's then that your life starts changing. It's then that you start making some decisions that change your life for the better. Amen? All right. So pray without ceasing. Okay, Colossians 4-5 says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." The word outsiders generally refers to unbelievers, so people that don't believe in Christ, okay? So they're outside of the faith. But it can also, in this case, be towards people who have accepted Christ but then added on things. So they become outsiders because they have forgotten the core message of Christ, which is the cross and the resurrection. And that is by grace that we are saved through faith, so that no one can boast, because it's a gift from God that we are saved. And, you know, it says here, I kind of think that Paul was thinking of both groups. He's thinking, because he's speaking to the Colossians, and they've dabbled and they've added even paganism to some of their beliefs. And he's saying, guys, you know, you may not all actually be saved. You may actually need to check out your own flock, check out your own people in your church. Are they all walking with Christ? Are they all doing well? You know, are you doing well, church? You know, there's no point in us going out there and sharing the gospel if you're not doing well. You know, and that's why I'm encouraging you today, is because I really believe that God would want you to wake up and to be stirred up in your faith, to get right with Christ first, to make him the center of your life before you go out and share with others, because you can only minister out of what God's already done to you. And that's where the power comes, is when you actually know that God's touched your life and you've been changed. That is a walking miracle, and you become a walking miracle when you can share your life with others. Sorry, that was additional. Okay. So let your conversation be always full of grace. So I'm an evangelist. I love sharing the gospel. I love talking to anyone on a bus, on a park bench, wherever. I love it. And I come across sometimes challenging situations. Bex will understand. So we'll like her as we go out every Tuesday. We come across some interesting people and different perspectives. And, you know, it's a challenge for each of us to be gracious and how we present the gospel message. Now, we might not agree with their lifestyle. We might not agree with the choices that they've made in life. That doesn't change the fact that God still wants to reach them. You know, and the very people that God has placed in your life are there for a purpose. They're there to be reached. And you might be the very person that God's actually called to reach them. And, you know, it challenges us, this verse, to be gracious to one another, to not lord ourselves over one another with legalism. And, you know, you shouldn't do this, and I don't think you should do that. It's really important that as Christians, we have not arrived. I don't know about you, I'm not perfect yet. I'm still on that process of sanctification, getting, you know, becoming more Christ-like, but I've still got sin. And I've, you know, in terms of I need to get rid of some things from my past that I need to walk out this life afresh. And that's amazing. That's why Victory Weekend is really good, because it helps deal with those issues. And then you can walk free from those issues. And it's awesome. So woman, sign up. Okay, sorry, little pitch. See, I got sidetracked. So that's why it's really important. God doesn't want us to walk in that. He wants us to walk free from sin, and he wants our lives to speak to others. The next part here is seasoned with salt. Now, I don't like too much salt on my food. Some people, they just put tons of it on. I used to have a flatmate, she'll love this that I'm mentioning her name, Karina, and she used to add salt to everything. And I would be like, how can you add so much salt to food? Doesn't it make it taste disgusting? But she loved it. And I don't know why, the taste buds love salt. And I never used to add any salt. I like my food pretty bland, may add a couple of herbs, but you know, nothing too exciting. But when Paul's saying here that when we share the gospel, when we share the good news of Christ, it needs to be seasoned with salt, which means it needs to sound and taste tasty, right? It needs to be something that people are going to enjoy and going to want to eat and partake of. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Right? So when we are sharing the gospel, when we're sharing about Christ, it needs to taste good. So I'll give you an example. When I was sharing the gospel with someone, I mean, I was excited. I wanted them to encounter God. And I was just like Jesus loves you and he really wants to have a relationship with you. And this person, and I was hoping they'd be here at church today, they're not, but that's okay, we'll still continue to reach out to them. They were just totally in awe of what I was sharing. Now, it wasn't purely the enthusiasm that kept them in that conversation, but it was the fact that what I was saying was truth and it was from my heart. That changed that person. And he was actually, for the first time, he said it was the first time he'd heard the gospel, that he was actually being changed in front of my eyes. Now, the thing is, I could have shared the gospel differently and it not had the same effect. And that's why it's important for us to have that flavor. And that's the cool thing. God's designed us all to actually be evangelists. He's designed us all to be ministers. We're actually ministers of reconciliation, which is, we have the ability to reconcile people to Christ. That's the cool thing about it. We can reconcile. We get to be a part of the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of every nation, right? That's the cool thing about it. I don't know about you. That makes me excited. And it's not just because I'm an evangelist. It's because God wants to use us to reach people with his gospel. I think it's so cool. So we need to be seasoned with salt, like shake it like a salt shaker, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That was additional too. All right. And also just an encouragement to be ready in and out of season. You don't know when God may bring someone into your life, and you need to be ready to know how to share your faith with others. So, you know, just because you may be a new Christian doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to share the hope that he's put into you. Like a seed, it wants to grow. And that's why you get around, you get discipled with someone, with a small group, to help you grow so that you can be more confident in sharing your faith. Okay, Colossians 4, 7 to 9. Are you tracking? Not too much? Okay, Tychicus. Now, this guy's pretty cool. And the reason why, Nellie and I went to the Hillsong Conference in July, and a whole message, a whole 50-minute sermon was preached on Tychicus, which is pretty cool. I'm not going to do that today. But this guy, I wouldn't have even thought about. I would have brushed over, read his name, because these are the final greetings of Colossians. And sometimes we just rush through reading God's word sometimes. It doesn't seem as relevant to us. But I want to pull out Tychicus to you and identify him as not only a man of God, but actually a true, a faithful servant of Paul's. So he was a man that chose to be with Paul in the prison so that he could deliver Paul's letters to the Ephesian the churches in Ephesus, oh my gosh, and the church of Colossians. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So Tychicus was described not only just here, but also in Ephesians and in 2 Timothy, where it's speaking about him being faithful, that he chose a lifestyle of sacrifice. He could have done anything else, but he chose to stick by Paul through the hard and the good times. He chose to be a faithful servant to Paul so that his letters, which actually make up most of the New Testament of our Bibles today, could get out to the churches. And I think that's pretty cool. That deserves a bit of credit there, that he actually was hugely instrumental in helping us get the gospel that we have today. And Onesimus too. So, you know, these people that Paul's mentioning aren't just average people. I mean, they might, you know, back then have been seen as average people, but these are really important people. And I love that Paul doesn't forget about these people. He commends them for their life of sacrifice, for them, you know, devoting their time and purposes to advancing the gospel. Colossians 4, 10 to 11, my fellow prisoner, try and pronounce his name, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark and cousin Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, so that's another Jesus, by the way, who also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So Tychicus was a Thessalonian who accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. He was with Paul in the riot in Ephesus, and he and Tychicus were with Paul in Greece. Mark actually started off with Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas was someone that actually was a rich benefactor, and he actually funded a lot of missionaries to go and advance the gospel. He then paired up with Mark, and they went off and did some missionary journeys. And Paul ended up staying very closely with a guy, Luke, who we'll talk about, and Tychicus. So they were his close companions at the time. Now, Epaphras. This is the guy that I mentioned in the beginning. Now, he's the guy that actually helped plant the church in the Colossae. So Epaphras was actually considered to be a hero of the Colossian church, one of the believers who helped keep the church together despite growing troubles. His earnest prayers for the believers show his deep love and concern for them. So the reason why I'm touching on prayer so much is because prayer actually helped this church. So prayer was incredibly important despite all the stuff that was happening in that church at the time. Prayer was what kept the church together. And that's why, as Paul would say, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to looking and asking for God and his intervention in any situation that you're going through. Okay, Colossians 4:14-16. Our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Now, Luke here actually also stuck by Paul. He came to the prison and wrote the letters of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of and the Book of Acts, sorry. He was really important. So he's described as the physician, which implies that he's a doctor of some kind. And he was described as being very faithful, sticking by Paul no matter what to the end. He did missions with Paul as well. And he chose to stand alongside him despite what he went through. Now this other guy, Demas, I looked into him. I hadn't heard of him before. Maybe I just brushed through that passage. Demas, who's he? I looked at him and he started off faithful. He started off faithful to Paul. He stuck by him. And then later on we see in 2 Timothy 4, he actually left the faith. Because he fell in love with, it says, because he became a lover of the world, he became a lover of sin. So he actually stepped out of God's calling, what he had him for. So he got commended initially in Colossians and then kind of like blotted out later because he kind of flaked out. You know, he left the relationship with Christ because he fell in love with worldly desires and with worldly passions. And what Nellie touched on previously, that, you know, we can get so caught up in idolatry that we forget that the center has always been Jesus. And it's such a shame because, you know, he was really commended here, but then later on flaked out. And he actually deserted Paul. And I was thinking about Paul, you know, I really felt sorry for him. I don't know about you, he's been through so much. And I was like, wow, I've got nothing to complain about compared to the life of Paul. He went through everything. I don't know if you've looked through Corinthians, it talks about like he's shipwrecked, he's beaten, he's tormented, he's thrown into prison umpteen times just for sharing the gospel, you know? And I just think, wow, I can't even complain about anything in light of what Paul's gone through. And what he's doing is he's devoting himself and training up, discipling these young men to then go out and to preach the word and to go and plant churches, much like we do in our church, actually, is we believe in discipleship. We believe in training up other people so that we're not just, you know, single leaders, just, you know, me and Nellie solely responsible for this church. Actually, you're all responsible, and that is an extension of Christ's arm. We become his branches. Those that when we abide in him, when he's the center of our life, we can do so much more, and we can reach so many more people as a united front, as a church, as a spiritual family. And, you know, I kind of think here how distraught he would be knowing that people he's walked alongside, people that have served him faithfully, they just gap it. They leave him while he's in prison. They just don't show up anymore. You know, and while he's praying and believing God that he's going to be released from prison, there's no sign of it. You know, and he continues to stay faithful, he continues to pray, and these men leave him. And I just think about how lonely he must have felt and how lonely we can often feel when people leave us because of our decision to follow Christ. you know, because of the boldness we now have. When we accept the Holy Spirit, we become a bold witness. And sometimes people can't handle that. And we have to sometimes cut off friendships because those people who were once walking with us and who were cheering us on kind of just exit. And we think, why, God, why have they left us? You know, we were so close. It's the gospel. It's not you personally. It's the gospel because God is changing you. And people can't handle it if they're still in sin. They can't handle it because your life will convict others. And that's the sad thing, though, is when people flake out, our loved ones flake out. Don't stop praying for them. I'm sure that Paul was still on his knees praying for Demas, despite him leaving. And we don't know what happened to him ultimately. There's no kind of resolve whether he did get saved or not. But, you know, just because he left doesn't mean that Paul wasn't still fervently praying for him. So I want to encourage you to not give up praying for your loved ones, to not give up praying for your families, and for people that have flaked out or for people that have just left the church, you know, to continue to pray for them, continue to wrestle in faith for them. And I just want to touch on here, the letters that Paul was writing to the Colossian church and also to the churches in Ephesians were actually distributed to other churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So it was like, I guess the equivalent would be like podcasts today. You know, you can access podcasts all around the world. You can go on Google and just, you know, type in a podcast and you can listen to another church's sermon. And that's kind of cool because, you know, God is doing great things around the world. We don't want to be so, you know, tunnel vision that we forget actually that God's a big God and he's moving in the life of the body of Christ all around the world. And back in Paul's time, his letters were actually intended to encourage many churches. And so that's why he wanted to get those letters out. He wanted scribes to write those letters so that he could deliver them and encourage the body of Christ, even though he was still in a prison cell. Okay, the last verse here is Colossians 4:17-18. So tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So what he was encouraging Archippus, too, is actually to stay fervent in your faith, to not flake out, to not lose, to not leave the race early. And, you know, I think when you have a lot of time to yourself, things kind of get in perspective, right? When you've kind of caught up in the busyness of life, everything's like, oh, I've just got to do this, I've just got to do that, you know? But sometimes God causes us to be alone for a season where we can actually focus on what is really important. And what he's encouraging him here is actually stay strong. You know, don't leave this battle early. Don't flake out. Keep focused, keep alert, keep watchful. And Paul was encouraging Archippus here to make sure that he completed the work he had received in the Lord. There are many ways for us to leave our work unfinished. We can easily get sidetracked morally. We can become exhausted and stop. We can get mad and quit. Or we can let it slide and leave it up to others. And that's the whole uncommitted society that we live in. It frustrates me because there's a real backing down. Someone else will do it. Oh, just leave it to someone else. You can do it. You know, you could deliver the letters to the Colossians. I don't have to do it. Oh, choose someone else. You know what? And Paul was encouraging them, no, look, you have been chosen to do this. You've been chosen to preach this message of truth. Don't back down. Don't quit. You know, even though sometimes the busyness of life can cause us to feel discouraged and cause us to feel weak, that's why it's important to press through in faith and to press through in prayer to overcome whatever situation the enemy has thrown at you and to actually persevere, to look ahead and believe that the promise is on the way and to thank God that the promise is on the way, to not get discouraged. You know, to understand this letter to the Colossians, we need to know that the church was facing pressure from a heresy that promised deeper spiritual life through secret knowledge. Okay, so what Pastor Nelly spoke on earlier was that the church was actually because of people becoming lax in their faith, they were starting to add to the gospel. They were starting to add heresy, which is untrue, and, you know, philosophies. And that's why Paul was really saying, guys, don't come away from the gospel message. Don't lose it. Don't flake out. You know, the false teachers were actually destroying the faith in Christ by undermining Christ's humanity and divinity. But Paul makes it clear in Colossians that Christ alone is the source of our spiritual life. You know, he makes it clear that Christ is actually the head of this church. He's the head of every church. Christ is Lord of both the physical and the spiritual worlds. The path to deeper spiritual life is not through religious duties, not through legalism, not through apathy and liberalism, but actually through boldness and confronting the enemy head on, which means our life needs to be centered in Christ. So as we finish off this 6-week journey that we've been on, and as Pastor Nelly has navigated us through the book of Colossians, we remember that the key theme in this book is actually that our lives would be centered on Christ. That it is not just merely that we are Christian, but actually we are under lordship, which means he is the Lord of our life. And today, as I just call Pastor Nelly up, or Alex, I really want to take a moment here, and I don't want you to miss the heart of this message, that Christ is actually calling us right now, right where you're sitting, to center your life on Christ. It's not enough to just go through the motions, to turn up every Sunday to church. We love it that you come, and that's wonderful. But is your life really centered? What's it centered on? I think Nelly, that he sort of mentioned it earlier about handing over those idols, things that have caused us to lose sight of who Christ is. And let's not forget that Paul, you know, he underwent so much to get this good news to us. And the reason why we have it is so that our lives can be changed by it. I want you just to close your eyes and just to really have a moment just where you can reflect. Is your life right now centered on Christ? Communication with God. Don't miss out on what God wants to speak to you and wants to speak through you to others. But the importance of that is that your life would be centered on Him. Can I ask today, those of you who have really felt from this message convicted, where you're at right now? I don't know what it is. I don't know what situation you're going through. But I want to ask you today whether you're willing to change. Whether you're willing to take off whatever is hindering you and be full and immersed in Christ's love for you. Can I ask those people that have really felt that to be true for them, just to raise their hand so I can pray for you. Okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word, it stays the same, God, it never changes. That your word that Paul wrote to the church in Colossians was just for us today, God. Father, I pray for those people that have raised their hands today, God, that, Lord, that they've realized, God, their life is not right with you, God, that it's not fully centered on you, Lord. Father, I ask today that you would transform their minds, God. That, Lord God, their hearts would be open to receive and encounter you in a deeper way, God. Father, I ask that you would come and whatever their situation, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would be the center of it, God, that you would cause this situation, Lord Jesus, to change, God, for the better, Lord, and that they can attest it to your goodness and your faithfulness in their lives, Father. And God, I also pray, God, for those who, Father, have not been praying, have stopped praying, or have become weary in praying. I want to pray for you now. Just raise your hands. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for prayer. I thank you for the communication that we have with you, God, through not only your word, Father, but through direct communication through the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray you'll awaken in us a fire, God. Awaken in us a boldness and a fervency, God, to get on our knees, Lord, to humble ourselves in prayer, God, to really seek you, Lord Jesus, and your will for whatever the situation we're going through. Father, I ask that you would just come in a mighty way and change these people's lives, Father. I pray your Holy Spirit would breathe upon them, Father God, that they would recognize and come to encounter a deeper relationship and a deeper communication with you. Father, I pray for those here today, God, that haven't thought that they've heard your voice, Father. I pray that you speak to them, God. May they encounter your voice, God. May they hear it and obey it, Lord God. And may they never grow weary in reaching out and communicating with you, Father. The last prayer I want to pray is for those perhaps who've come in today that recognize that their life isn't right with God. Perhaps it's your first time to church. Perhaps it's your first time hearing the gospel message that Christ died for you and we can have a relationship with him through believing in faith what he did for us. I want to pray for anyone here today. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter how many times you've perhaps even heard this. If today you feel that tugging on your heart, that you know that God is calling you to reconcile with him, I want to pray for you. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that it is for freedom that you've set us free, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for repentance. God, for the ability for us to come to you and to lay our sin down, to lay our failures, our mistakes down, God, and accept you fully. Lord, I pray for those that have raised their hands, and I ask, God, that, Lord, as they offer their lives to you again, Father, afresh, I pray that you'll reignite in them, Father God, just a love and a desire to know you, a desire to know more about you, Father, and to be fulfilled in what you've called them to do, Father. I just pray for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand to our feet. Can we give a round of applause to Rasheen for bringing that word from the Lord? It's awesome. I think that the reason why I gave it to Rasheen to close it out is because, you know, a lot of the faithful people that we read about, I mean, she's a modern day version of that and embodies it. And I really believe that God's calling us to a greater measure of faith in our own lives. I just sense in the spirit here in Australia, I was sharing with our pastors from all the different churches here in Australia and New Zealand, the Every Nation pastors, at the meeting that we had about 3 weeks ago, just about the battle that we have here in Australia and somewhat in New Zealand in the spirit. It may not be necessarily poverty or a poverty of the mind. It would be more of a hopelessness that we battle. Because, you know, a lot of what we see in our society here in Australia is the embodiment of Ecclesiastes, actually, you know, where you have everything that you could ever want, but it's all meaningless. And so I think we're at a very key season in our nation. I hope you're seeing this, that with all the pressure that's happening in the media with regards to whether it's ISIS or you know, the Islamic pressure that's happening, people are having to make a choice, and it's shaking us out of our apathy. And if there was ever a time for the church to arise, it's now. And I hope that you're seeing that there's no other way to live as a Christian other than to have your life centered on Him and to ask for an exceeding abundance of His love to flow in through you. Because the best way to combat the spirit of fear is perfect love, according to 1 John. And that perfect love can only be found in the cross, which transforms us. And so my prayer for all of us today is that God would shake us up out of our apathy as a church and within the whole body of Christ here in Brisbane, and that we would be on our knees and be radical about our Christianity and make our life count for something greater. I want to challenge you this week to be in prayer for the people that God's put around you within your sphere of influence as to how you would have the opportunity to communicate the gospel to them or with them, and just be able to, you know, like we were singing, let our lives count for more than just us. I don't know about you, but I, for a long time, I'd come to church and think it's about what I can get from the service. What about, you know, feed me, Lord. Like, you know, God's coming in like when I'm feeding my kids. Here comes the airplane. Open wide. You know, but we got to understand as Christians here in every nation that God is actually calling us to Himself, that you're actually here for Him. He, of course, is here for you, but like we're here for Him, what we can give to Him, not necessarily what we can get from Him, but what we can give to Him because He's already done it all. You know, and so this gathering is a response. So my encouragement for all of us today is please don't, and I'm preaching this to myself, if you're not desperate for His presence the same way that some of these other people in other religions are desperate to push their agenda, which is not godly, or actually it's going to kill lifestyles and kill lives and all of this, best way to combat that is to be radical with the love of Christ. And that's the gospel of which Paul was writing about in Colossae, to Colossae, because he, like she was saying, he'd never even been to the church. He didn't even know the people. And yet it was that perfect love that God had for him to actually take some time to pen this letter to a church that needed this sort of encouragement. I don't know about you, but we can easily get caught in our own prisons and become so discouraged about how am I going to pay the bills and how am I going to get through my studies or when am I going to get promotion. Look, God's got that. Seek first His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. God's going to take all care of your exams, your assignments, your, you know, your promotion, your work, your finances. He's got all that. Just take care of His kingdom and be aware of His kingship. Be like we sang earlier, let us become more aware of your presence. And everything that we do, tomorrow when you go to the office, or tomorrow when you go to campus, or tomorrow because it's Labor Day, I was just testing you. None of you, are you? I was all so convicted. Tomorrow when you go to the beach, you're building that sandcastle. Ask God, Lord, let me become more aware of what you're doing in every surrounding that I walk into. That's my prayer for all of you today. God would shake us out of our apathy and make our lives count for a lot more than just what we see and what we want. Because whether we know it or not, the fulfillment can only come by Him. And so it's interesting. Next week we're starting a new series. I don't know if we've got. Can we throw that slide up? Are you there, Phil John, for the next series? Can you do it? Can you do it? Let's see if he. How amazing he is. But anyway, I was supposed to announce it during the announcements. Next week, we're starting a new series called Outlasters, or Outlasters. How do you guys say it?
Outlasters, mate. Yeah, mate.
Outlasters. Do we have it up there? You can do it. You can do that black one. Bam! Look at that. Outlasters. God's given us all a life to steward, and we're going to be talking about stewardship and stewarding our lives in a way that will outlast us, go for eternity. So that's where it's at. Yet again, I want to mention, please, if you sisters, if you have not signed up for Victory Weekend, please do not be silly. And the materials. Get the materials at the book table. Yes, go immediately after the service, okay? Drop your prayer card in there and then walk straight to the Victory Weekend and say, just push everybody out. And say, look, I'm looking for some victory. I'm looking for some victory. Victory is mine, says the Lord. Okay, so you push everybody out the way. You're allowed to, Pastor Sid. And just get in line, okay? Please, if you haven't signed up, there's no excuse. All right? And I love you. Father, bless us as we go, Lord. May we continue to make you famous, and may you be the center of our lives this week. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Have a great weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.